Well, I think we can all pretty much say that we can't find the way alone. But thank the Lord we know someone that can lead us and help us to find the way, don't we? I thank God this afternoon for Jesus, for His love and goodness to us. Try not to tarry too long this afternoon, though we're tired and weary. But I'd like to think about Jesus for just a little bit. You know, when I'm more convinced than ever that when God made man out of dust, He knew what He was doing. He knew what He was making us out of, too. He knew how weak and feeble and frail that we would be and that we are. He gave us something. He gave us some personalities. He gave us some character, and He gave us the ability to choose, and He gave us a will. He gave us a lot of things. He gave us life. But I'm thinking that when the Bible says it was ordained before the foundation of the world, even before God began to create it all, it was ordained that His Son would come here for flesh, for man. So God knew from the beginning how weak and feeble we were. He knew from the beginning that we couldn't make it without Him, as the song said. And I'm thankful that He did, and I'm thankful that He had a Son that was willing to come to leave His glory there and the glory and honor that He had there with His Father, and be willing to come down here for you and I. And you know, Jesus, He knows our makeups. The Bible says He knows our uprising and our downsettings. He knows how things affect us in life. He knows the things that are important to us, the things that are dear to us. He knows all about those things. And there were things that were dear to Jesus too. And I'm glad that when He came, Jesus knew what it was that he was dealing with. He knew that it was flesh, blood, that He was going to be dealing with, and He went about it in such a way that showed compassion. And that's what I want us to think about this afternoon, is the compassion of Christ. He went about it in a way that when He saw someone hurting, He hurted. He hurt. When He saw someone in trouble, He was troubled too. When He saw someone struggling with life, He had compassion and He wanted to reach out. He had what is called empathy for those. He was able to understand the emotions and the hurts and the pains of others and enter in with them. That's how He's able. The Bible says we have a great high priest that's touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Aren't you glad that He's touched with your infirmities today? He knows our needs, and He knows how to bless us and supply those needs because He's God. And not only that, but because He cares. He cares. I like that song in our book that says, "No matter what happens, He will care for me." I take courage in that, and I'm grateful to know that whatever happens, He even tells us in His Word, or His Word tells us, that He would be a very present help in every time of trouble. He knows troubles in this world. He knows troubles in your life, troubles in my life. He knows all about those things. Scripture that I'd like to read is found in Matthew, the 14th chapter, 13th and 14th verse. The disciples had just came to Jesus and told Him about John the Baptist being beheaded. And that was Jesus' cousin. And so it says in verse 13, "When Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities." You see, Jesus, He wasn't even allowed or able to be alone to grieve. for his own flesh and blood here in this world, for his own cousin John. He wasn't even allowed to be alone and have some solace and comfort from his father, because the multitudes followed him everywhere that he went. But he didn't complain about it. But it said in Jesus, verse 14, went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. I'm convinced this afternoon that God doesn't take pleasure in seeing his children sick. I'm convinced that God doesn't take pleasure in because that we have adversities and problems that we deal with in life. I believe Jesus, or God, really cares for us. And we see Jesus at one of the most distressful times of his human existence. The multitudes followed him, and they thronged around about him. And it said here, he saw the multitude and was moved with compassion. Could I say that compassion and love and mercy was the hallmark of Jesus' ministry here on earth? It was who he was, wasn't it? It wasn't just because, well, I see you're sick, but it came from within. It came from within himself. Because when he came, he knew the makeup of man. He knew how weak and feeble and frail that we were. And he knew that we needed a Savior. And he saw what sin had done on this earth. And he saw all the afflictions and sickness among the people. And when he saw them, it didn't say that they came to him and asked him to heal them, but he said he was moved with compassion and he went. And he healed their sick. I'm glad the Lord is interested in us being made whole. He's wanting you and I to be well. He's wanting us, you and I, to be have a well body, a well life. Mentally, emotionally, I know people that are emotionally troubled and disturbed. The Lord wants to heal those kind of things too. There's another part of the scripture that says he went out and healed all manner of sickness and disease. There isn't anything that he doesn't have the control or the power over. I mainly want to read scripture this afternoon and to inspire us that, you know, I believe God wants you and I to be just like His Son. I believe He wants you and I to take on His compassion, take on His love for souls. Well, being humans, we kind of like to say, well, you know, I want to qualify this. If I like you, I'll help you. If I like you, I'll have mercy. Jesus didn't wait for those kind of things. The Bible says when you and I were yet sinners, He died for us. It was an unconditional love that He came to the world and manifested even before His death, that He manifested to so many different people. Let's look at the book of Mark, the first chapter, in the 40th verse. There came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with what? Moved with compassion, put forth His hand, and He touched him, and saith unto him, I will. The leper said, if you will, Thou canst make me clean. Jesus said, I will. I'll do that for you. I will be thou clean. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Leprosy is a type of what in the Bible? It's a type of sin, isn't it? It's the type for sin. If Jesus had compassion upon this leper here, he said, I will be thou clean. Do you suppose that he would have that kind of compassion on a sinner today? On that one that's wandering around out there in sin, that one that is lost, that one is far from God, that druggie that's down in the Molly Grubs of sin, that alcoholic, those broken homes and troubled families. Do you suppose that he has compassion on them today? I believe he does. I believe he does. He has that compassion today. If people would just do like this leper, if they would just reach out to him, if they just, Jesus doesn't impose himself on anyone that doesn't want him. He doesn't just go around imposing himself on this leper. He said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. And you know, that hasn't changed today. We don't have the disease of leprosy so much in our world today, but we got the disease of sin, don't we? The disease of sin is running rampant all over our world today, and it's causing all manners of afflictions and troubles and problems and breakups in marriages and in homes and abuse of children and abuse of companions and all these. It's causing all these things. Leprosy, sin. Jesus said, I will. If you just ask me. If you just ask me, I will. And he didn't hesitate. He didn't qualify anything. He didn't ask him about his heart. He didn't ask him what his plans or intentions was after he healed him. He said, I will, be thou clean. And folks, if people would just realize that if they would take their problems and all these things that they're dealing with out in the world today and bring them to Jesus, folks, he will. He'll clean them up. He'll give them a new life. He'll give them a purpose for living if they just come to Jesus. All because he came to this world with compassion for mankind, with compassion and mercy for you and I. I think about one of the greatest scenes kind of stands out in grandeur before me sometimes. When I think of Matthew 23, and where it says that he sat there and he looked down on Jerusalem. You know it is. We don't have to turn over and read it. Matthew 23 and what is it, 37, somewhere in there. But he looked out on Jerusalem. And the Bible says he wept. He wept over them. He cried over them. Why? Why did Jesus cry when he looked out over Jerusalem? Because he had compassion on them. Because he saw them as lost sheep. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He saw them as people that had rejected him, rejected his ministry, rejected his father. He saw in desperation, he looked down upon them. And it touched his heart, that heart of compassion, that heart of mercy that he has for mankind. And they said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets, stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee together? Can you feel the compassion? Can you feel the compassion in this man that came to save the world? He came to seek and to save the lost. He came not to condemn you and I, but to save us from ourselves, to make a sacrifice that you and I could never make, pay a price that you and I could never pay, that we could have something glorious. Not only in this life, but in the world to come. Jesus, full of mercy, full of compassion. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers their chicks under her wings, and you would not. Oh, I want to tell you, there's a penalty to be paid when you reject him, isn't there? He said, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's awful. It's perilous to reject the wooing spirit of Christ. It's a awful thing to think of someone rejecting the Spirit of God dealing and working and moving upon their hearts. And this whole city of Jerusalem, you ever read about Jerusalem? You know what a massive city it was? It had two walls. These great big giant stone pillars that made up the walls going around. He told them in one place, he said, none of these stones would be all these stones would be torn apart, would not be laid one upon another, because they knew not the time of their visitation. They didn't know. It's a pitiful thing when someone doesn't realize their estate. When they don't realize their condition. When they don't realize that, you know, I'm lost and I'm done, undone, I'm troubled, or I'm sick and I'm afflicted, I got whatever it is, and they don't realize that all it takes is reaching out to this great man of compassion. It's all it takes. It's all it took for me is to reach out for this man for mercy, to this man for mercy and compassion. Jesus, oh, He said, how often I would have gathered you together. Jesus came to heal, folks. He came to promote healing. He came to bring salvation to mankind. Salvation will take care of all of our problems, wouldn't it? If this world would get saved, folks, I don't know what this world would be like. It'd be unreal, wouldn't it? If everybody just turned to Jesus and give their heart and life to Him, it'd sure be a different place to live. But it's not going to be that way. God's got a heaven He's going to take us to, folks. I want to be faithful because I want to go to that heaven someday. Do you know, it cost Jerusalem. It cost the Jews big time because they rejected this man of compassion and this man of mercy. There's a lot of devastation and a lot of destruction that happened to Jerusalem 70 years after this very fact. How often I would have gathered you together, even as a hen gathers this chick, but you wouldn't. You would not. You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't accept me. Folks, don't we want to accept the Lord today? Don't we want to accept? We want more of what He has for us, don't we? We want more of Him, more of His compassion. I want Him to understand me to the point where He can help me as I go through my life and struggle with the things that I have to struggle with. I want more of Jesus. Now I'll move on to John, the 11th chapter. John, when they had called Jesus and said, Lazarus, our brother is sick, the one that you love. Jesus waited around two or three days, and Lazarus died and all that. When He finally got there, Jesus got there and He said, 34th verse, John 11, 34, where have you laid Him? And they said unto Him, Lord, come and see. The shortest verse in the Bible, isn't it? Jesus wept. The man of compassion. The man that knew the hurt and the pain of Mary and Martha. Could feel it. He could feel it. He was God in the flesh. Could feel the pain. Lord, help us to feel the pain of others. To be able to have the empathy to enter into their emotions, the very things that they struggle with as they pour their hearts out to us from time to time. As we look on our children, seeing them doing the same old thing every day, day in and day out, struggling with the same old things, I guess they're looking for a different result, but it ain't going to happen until they turn to this man here. This man here that is full of compassion and mercy. And it said, Jesus wept, and then said the Jews, behold, how He loved him. Jesus did love Lazarus. He loved Martha and Mary too. But this whole thing came about that not only Martha and Mary, and not only Lazarus, and not only the disciples, but everybody that came to that tomb, it came about so that everyone that was looking on could see the power and the glory of God, didn't it? When He raised him from the dead, told him to come forth out of that tomb. He said, loose him and let him go. Oh, folks, I want to tell you, this man, it wasn't about him. When he was here, it wasn't about his hurts. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a house of his own to live in. It wasn't about all of that. It was about us. It was about mankind. That's what he came for. He was only here for a short time. You and I are only here for a short time. My little burden this afternoon is that we see and understand the compassion of this great man when he was here on earth, and that you and I would take up the mantle and put it on ourselves and have that kind of compassion and that kind of mercy and that kind of love for our fellow man. That's really what we are. If we call ourselves ambassadors of Christ, we are to put on the same thing that he had on, to be an example as he was the example. Oh, Jesus loved him all right. But he loved all of them. And he allowed this to happen, that many others could see the love of God and the power of God and the glory of God. What did he say here? And I knew that thou hearest me, Holy Father. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me, verse 42, always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Oh, folks, Lord, help us today. Let's ask God to give us greater love for our fellow man, for our brothers and sisters, not just in the Lord, but to help whoever we can to reach out with benevolence and compassion and mercy. Because, folks, you don't have to look very far to see people in trouble. You don't have to look very far to see people that are struggling in this life. John 15, we're here in John 15 and 13. Jesus made this statement. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Greater love hath no man than this. Jesus laid his life down for us, didn't he, folks? Laid it down on the cross. Willing to go and be humiliated and suffer and bleed and die and all those kind of things that they did. You know, sometimes I was reading the other day of some of the passion of the Lord and how that when he was before Pilate and he made a comment, and one of the fellows standing by said he smacked him on the cheek. Oh, I think, boy, I would hate to be that person that reached out and smacked the Son of God on the cheek like that. But you know what? You and I, we did that a lot when we was out in sin. We might not have reached out with our natural hand and smacked him on the face. We might not have been the one that plucked the hair from his cheek, smote him and all those kind of things. But folks, we did. We did degrade the Son of God when we were out there in the world doing those things that we ought not to have been doing. I know I'm guilty anyway. But I'm thankful today that he's saved me. And I want to be more like him. And isn't this who he really was? Isn't that who he really is today? He's not, you don't have to come. When that thief was hanging on the cross and he knew he was about to die, and he said, Lord, remember me, you don't have to tell him everything. You don't have to tell him what your life's been like. You don't have to, he knows. He knows all about us. But if you just reach out and say, Lord, remember me. You see the compassion he had on that man? Jesus' life about to go out of his body himself, and yet he had compassion on the one that was hanging there right beside him. Oh, greater love. No man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said in John 14 and 23, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I just want to love him more. I want to love his word more. I really do want to please him more and honor him with my life, not just lip service. But I want to be an example, be faithful to the post that he's called me to. I really do want to do those things. Let's move on to the 21st chapter of John. This is all familiar to us, but I brought some of this in down there in Holly Hill last week. But I want to bring it into you and I. When Jesus had rose from the dead, come out of his grave, and he presented himself to the disciples here in the 21st chapter of John, and they were out there fishing. You know the story, don't you? He came up to them in the 5th verse and said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they said, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Oh, folks, says, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It's the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto him, "Come and dine." Remember the little dissertation over there? I think Luke has it, an account of it. Matthew has an account of it. He said, Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. He knows what we have need of tomorrow, doesn't he? You know, it's wise for you and I to, as the Lord blesses us and gives us opportunity, it's wise for us to prepare. But the Lord said, consider the lilies. They don't toil, they don't spin, and look how they're arrayed in all their glory. Consider the ravens and all those kind of things. They don't go out and really work for a living. God provides for every creature. He provides for all creation. Folks, He provides for us. And He knows that you and I've got to eat. He said, don't worry about the clothes that you're going to wear. I'll provide for those kind of things. Has He always provided for us? Sure He has. David said, "I was once young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread." A man of compassion, folks. He knows what we need, and He's more than willing and able to provide for every need that you and I have. But we still worry. We still get concerned about it. We worry about things. He knows we need to eat. He knows that. And what He did when He met the disciples out there, He said, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask Him, "Who art thou?" knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, giveth him, and fish likewise. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, put your name there. Put your name where Peter's is. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter was a fisherman. He loved to fish. Remember after the crucifixion was over and they were standing around kind of twiddling their thumbs. They didn't know what to do. And Jesus said, or Peter said, "I go a fishing. That's what I really like. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go think this thing out. Try to figure out what just happened. Try to get it understood and all those kind of things. Even after Jesus already explained it before time. I go a fishing." Jesus says, "Do you love me more than that?" Is there anything, folks, be careful here, me, every one of us, don't let anything come between your love for the Lord. Your love for the Lord is of the utmost. Do you love me more than me? Is there anything that we have? You know, sometimes people think, well, you got to worship this idol and you got to worship that idol and you got to do this and that. But folks, there's other idols that we can worship here in this world if we're not careful. There's other things that become more important to us. That are outside of religion. People and possessions can be our idols. People and possessions, statues and self-purpose and self-serving. That can be our idol. Myself. I want myself to be so satisfied and to be so pleased. Lord, help us. Do you love me more than these? Give us a greater love, Lord. Give us a greater love for thee. And he said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Then he saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. You see who Jesus, what Jesus was interested in? He's interested in us. He's interested in mankind. When he was praying his prayer, getting ready to go to the cross. Folks, if you knew it was your last prayer that you were praying tonight, what would you pray for? You'd pray for the things that are dearest to your heart. That's what you'd pray for. That's what you'd pray for. That's what Jesus prayed for. That God would keep us from the evil that's in the world. That God would keep His church as one, unified, together as one, as He and God was one. That's what He prayed for. That was the things that was dearest to His heart. And then He says to Peter, do you love those things more than you do me? Lord, help us to love Him with all of our heart. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. And Jesus saith, feed my sheep. God has always, man was his greatest creation, and God has always been interested in mankind. He's not going to bring this world into judgment because of the trees. He's not going to bring it to judgment because of the animals. He's going to bring it to judgment because of the sins of mankind. And so his earnestness from deep within this man of compassion and this man of mercy is telling the preachers that are going to carry that gospel on, feed my sheep. Feed them. And here we have today, five of you out there, people not even interested in getting their souls fed. Not even really interested in the value of their own soul. Lord, help us today. We're in a desperate time, folks. We're in a very desperate time. But that's what Jesus, the man of compassion, was interested in. I like that verse 20 here, Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which is John, the one that wrote this, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know, we don't need to spend our time worrying about someone else. Don't waste your time worrying about someone else. You pray for them. But whatever God has for them to do, you leave that between them and God. He said, what is that to thee? You just follow me. You know, I don't know. Speculation, whatever it is, maybe you know more about it than I do. I don't know why the Lord asked him three times. But it was to put emphasis on what the Lord wanted him to do. And to put emphasis on how much we were to love the Lord, wasn't it? I don't know if it was because he denied the Lord three times. And the Lord kind of reminded him of that. I don't know about that. But he asked him three times, do you love me? You know, I think Sister Diane might have said something about it Wednesday night about our reasonable service. The Lord wants and requires our reasonable service. Lord, help us that we'll take up the mantle of Christ and that we'll go out and do what we can to make someone else's life better, to try to help someone that is struggling, to someone that is dealing with a hard thing in life. Remember the Good Samaritan? Jesus taught that, didn't he? The man that went and picked up the fellow, put him on his donkey and took him to the inn and gave the man his money, said, "Here, I'm going to go for a few days. When I come back, if I owe you anything more, I'll pay that too. But take care of this man. Take care. Help this man." Folks, how many times, I guess I can only speak for myself, has the Lord had mercy to help me? How many times has He reached down His hand for me, helped me through my struggles and my problems and my hard-headedness and my weak-mindedness? How many times has He reached down His hand to help me, put me up there on that donkey and taken me to a place of refuge and a place of safety? I thank God for that today. I thank the Lord for that. I want to read one more. Found in Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus teaching it here in the Sermon on the Mount. But He says here in the 13th verse, I believe it is, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Folks, it's left to you and I now. Jesus isn't here in the flesh. It's hard to identify with someone that we don't see in the flesh. I understand that. It's even harder for the world to identify with it. But you and I are the salt of the earth now. "If the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye." I want you to take this personal this afternoon. "Ye are the light of the world." The world needs us. Maybe we just got a little 4-watt glow. That's what a night light is, 4 watts. But I'll tell you what, it puts out a lot of light in the middle of a dark night, doesn't it? The Lord wants us to put out our 4 watts, our 25 watts, our 60 watts, whatever it is that we have. Some have 30-fold, some 60, some 100, Jesus said. "You are the light of the world," folks. They don't know it, but they're dependent on us to be faithful. You and I, the praying folks, the folks that still have faith, "When I return, will I find faith?" That's the ones that's keeping this world going today. That's the reason why the Lord hasn't called it to judgment yet. Old Abraham said it. He started out with 50 and he came down to 10. "If you just find 10, will you spare it?" "Yeah, I'll spare it for 10. But he couldn't find 10. I wonder how many he's got now. I wonder how many there is that have humbled themselves and accepted this wonderful Savior. This wonderful friend that promised to stick closer than a brother. Now he says, "You." It's our responsibility now. "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine." Was Jesus letting His light shine when He was here? He surely was, folks. When you help someone in trouble, you've almost pretty much got a friend for life. People that are down and out and don't know where to turn and don't know what to do, and someone comes along and helps them, you got a friend. They want to be your friend. They want you to be their friend. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, there's a controversy or a dissertation over in James about faith and works. We can't work our way to heaven, but I believe the Lord wants you and I, by our actions, by letting our light shine and being the example that we ought to be to a lost and a dying world. He said here, "May see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." That's why we're here, folks. I'm fully convinced that when Jesus came to this earth, His main purpose was for the souls of men and to glorify His Father. That's what Jesus did when He was here, was glorify His Father. I believe when Jesus reached out to those multitudes and He healed them, I believe when He reached out and healed the leper, when He brought Lazarus up out of the grave and others, the young man that was in the byre there when they were walking down the street in the funeral procession, He reached in and touched him and the man stood up. I believe God was well pleased that His Son was down here doing benevolence, doing benevolent work among lost souls, among the reprehensible condition of men. We need the Lord today. But you know what? The world needs us. People today are living life like they're going to live it forever. They're living life and it's all about themselves. Many don't have time to reach out to help someone else. They're so busy in their own struggles and their own cares of life. But I've said it before, I'm going to say it again in closing, folks. You and I will never get the fulfillment out of living for the Lord and living life until we're doing something for someone else. That's where the real blessings flow from, is when you're reaching out and you're helping someone else that is in need. Lord's blessed us, folks. He's blessed us. We all have a pretty good life here. We probably aren't wanting a whole lot of things. And the Lord's blessed us immensely. May the Lord help us to see the compassion of that great man, to feel the empathy that He had for souls, that we will go forth and let our light shine just like He let His light shine. And when people did reject Him, He cried and He wept, didn't He? We're not going to, as Brother John mentioned in Sunday school, if we can save anybody, it'll be the savable. It'll be those that are willing and want to be saved. We can't force and won't force anyone. You can't do it to be saved. So may the Lord help us be ambassadors for Christ. That's what Christ was. That was the hallmark of His ministry. He didn't just come and die, but He went about doing many mighty, wonderful works, the Bible says. He did many wonderful things, miracles and healings and all kinds of things that He did. And then He challenged you and I to go forth and preach the gospel in all the world to every creature. And that we could cast out devils and that we could lay hands on the sick. And He told the disciples in one place, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. May God help us, folks, to be busy working for the Lord with a heart full of love, a heart full of compassion, being reminded that's exactly what our Lord and Savior was, a man of compassion and mercy. Even when He was rejected, even when He was rejected of His own people, He still went about doing those things. He still cared because He had a heart of compassion. May the Lord give us a deeper compassion and a love for mankind that we can be faithful to let our light shine. Amen.